Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of WWL Sports Talk Fans in the Pro, live from Rouse's Markets, 6205 LaPalco in Marrero, right at the corner of LaPalco and Ames. You cannot miss it. Rouse's Football Fridays will help you cover the spread this week with spinach artichoke dip or fresh-made guacamole. Rouse is celebrating 65 years, and we are just getting started. And it's not fall out there, but it feels pretty daggone good for September 5th. I'll take it. I'll tell you that. Not the hot and humid start for the weekend, which is high school football tonight, college tomorrow, LSU and Tulane, and then the Saints on Sunday, noon, inside Caesars Superdome. We will not, Mr. Deuce McAllister, have a 1 hour and 4 minute weather delay that will force the game in past midnight like they did last night in Philadelphia.
Yeah, that was a mess, and I got to check. I mean, Mike, it's 90 degrees outside. Now, it's not as humid, but it's hot outside.
It's still warm, but for September 5th, a little breeze. You don't have, it doesn't take much to please me in September.
It's 4 o'clock.
All right.
It's 4 o'clock, but no.
We have a front coming Sunday. It's going to feel even better.
So we got some coming tomorrow, and so when I listen to the radio, and you listen to the TV, to the weather report, just is it going to be humid to the point where as soon as you step out, oh, I'm sweating. And when you don't hear that, this is pleasant.
That's right.
This is pleasant.
What I'm saying. The bar is low. It doesn't take much.
Yeah, but then you think of it, it's still 90 degrees outside. But man, it's a good time as far as sports fans are concerned. You're in week zero last week, so this is week one for college football. I think this is considered week one because I know. Last week was week zero.
Really?
No, it's week zero. And the only reason
they
I know
had all those games.
No, well, week zero is considered Labor Day weekend.
Right.
I do know.
Do they
that.
Want to line up with the NFL for the weeks equal each other? Makes no sense.
Have no clue.
Week zero.
But they do call it week zero.
All right.
And that goes back to my broadcasting days. And then I was over in. I don't know if that – I guess that was last weekend. But anyway, I was over in Birmingham, and you look at the ticket, and it literally has week zero on there. It's week zero on the ticket as far as college football is concerned.
I had to
think about it. I was like, wait, was that last week? Or, you know, because the weeks, as you know, they just – it's just another week. They kind of run together on you. And but you say all that to say it's exciting, not only for college football, as they head into another week. We can call it whatever you want to call it. And you kick off the NFL last night, Dallas and the Eagles and the rain delay. And, you know, safety is always going to be paramount. You may not think of it in that manner, but that's why you had the weather, because of the lightning. I think in any time it's spotted within a certain
mileage.
Yeah, certain mileage. The clock has to start back over as far as the delay is concerned. And
you must have had to deal with that some at Ole Miss.
I think we did once for the Saints in Tampa, but outside of that, up at Ole Miss, I don't think I ever had like the weather delay. They didn't care then. I mean, that's 25-30 years ago. It's not lightning on us.
Rub some dirt on it and move on.
Just keep going. You know, there's not lightning on you. So, you know, but no, it was in the booth a couple of times where the games were delayed, and it's just you're sitting around and you start reading up on this. Like, wait, what? It's how many miles? Oh, it's 10 miles away. It's within range. And so, yeah, that's a mess.
So it is a big weekend. High school tonight, 7 o'clock. We will have the Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup. The new sponsors looking forward to that. The Brian Kelly Show at 6 o'clock at 5:20. We'll talk to Chris Gordy, locked on the SEC host. LSU trying to make it back-to-back after getting that huge win in Clemson last weekend. In Tulane as well, big win over Northwestern. They are playing against South Alabama tomorrow. Man, just a – and then the Saints.
You talk about two huge wins. We got to shout out somebody else, Nicholls State. Nicholls State with a huge, huge win at home, and that was one where they were the underdog, not expected to win. You know, not to say that Tulane and LSU were expected to win, but for Nicholls to be able to pull off what they did, I think that woke up some people, you know, particularly in that conference. And, you know, the Connells are trying to say, hey, look, you better check us out. We got a pretty good squad down here.
We'll be going down there towards that area, down to Vacherie again, mm-hmm. First American Bank. We always look forward to that. And so as we talk about teams that are at home and underdog, we either got to get used to it or things are going to change. And so because the Saints are underdogs this week to Arizona, they'll be underdogs with San Francisco, most likely, depending on what happens. It is what it is.
Who cares?
I'm with you.
A couple people cares, but yeah. not us.
That's right. And there are expectations, low expectations, on the radar, under the radar, and you don't even know where the radar is. And that's where the Saints are. If you want to get Saints information on, like, national radio, good luck. They are off the radar.
It's a couple words. They'll tell you, oh, they're bad.
But you don't know.
They're going off of projected, and projection will get you in trouble, but it does give you some information.
It does frighten me only because those suckers are very rarely wrong,
but right. that is correct. I mean, if I am Coach Moore, I have got it plastered up all over. This is what they think of you. This is who they believe you are. Because right now he's still trying to figure out what buttons to push. How do I turn this guy completely on to where he's going out there and he's running through the wall completely for me? Now, everybody, I don't need to run through the wall for me. Some of those guys, you know, my quarterback, he's got to be able to see it, be able to decipher it, I don't need him running through the wall.
Slide under the wall.
Yeah, but some guys, I've got to make sure, I mean, because, like, you can talk about, well, we were really prepared or we were focused completely on that game. We'll find out very soon how focused this team is come Sunday. And I don't want to say it has to be the first series, but by the end of the first quarter, you're either going to be very crisp, you're going to be somewhat sloppy, or you're going to be, there's some mistakes, some things to clean up, and maybe lack of talent, lack of execution. Something will kind of be a tail for you, and the question will be, can you clean it up? Can you fix it? Or does it get worse?
And I would say, and we're going to talk about certainly Spencer Rattler and this offense a great deal, I would say in that first few series, in that first quarter, when you look at this Saints defense and – you know, when we see them swarming to the football, right? Two and three guys, or it's a guy trying to make an arm tackle one-on-one. When they're swarming, man, they are a much different kind of defense. And you can kind of feel that early on in a football game.
You can feel it, but the problem becomes how many series are they out there for? You know, are they out there 13, 14 series because of turnovers? Because of short drives from your offense, but from a defensive perspective, now we hadn't talked about the injuries.
Nope.
You did lose, you know, one of your top. I'll put it top five defensive players is not going to be available, and so he was one that you were leaning on. That being Chase Young dealing with a calf injury, and so it'll be some opportunities for some other guys to kind of step up. You hate that it's week one for him and the Saints because he's poised to have a great year, but you've got to be out on the field. And so he feels like it, and I know the team does as well. They feel like that it's not anything long term. You just hate that he's not out there to kind of set the tempo,
right,
and set the kind of, hey, this is what it's going to be for this team this season.
All right, man, came back from neck surgery, played in week one last year. He's a tough cat. Trevor Penning also out at left guard. Jordan Howden is questionable, but no injury designation for Alante Taylor. So that's good, and just one out for Arizona, that being offensive lineman Will Hernandez. We are at the Rouses. 6205 LaPalco in Marrero coming out. Deuce McAllister, Mike Hoss. It is a special edition of WWL Sports Talk. We'll be here until 6 o'clock. Then it's the Brian Kelly Show. Come on out and get everything you need for the football weekend. Back after this here on WWLAMFM.com and always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back. It is Fans in the Pro and a special edition of WWL Sports Talk live from Rouse's Markets. Mike Hoss along with guest analyst Deuce McAllister, the best guest analyst there is in football. 6205 LaPalco in Marrero, Rouse's Markets. Football Fridays has Totino's Pizza Rolls, 50-count bags, 2 for $8. I got to go find them. That seems impossible. 50-count bags, 2 for $8.
That's the little pizza roll that the kids eat all the time?
Yeah, that's 100 for $8. Guess what, kids? I got dinner. Shop and save.
For a few nights.
Yeah, all good. So it is the Arizona Cardinals coming to the Superdome on Sunday at noon. Joining us now is Bob McManaman, the senior writer. Let me get his title correct here. Senior writer, sports writer for the Arizona Republic. Bob, welcome to the show. You're on with Mike Hoss and Deuce McAllister.
Good to be here.
Well, we appreciate it. So Arizona, third year under Justin Gannon. They go from 4-13 to 8-9. So, you know, big improvement. But last year, to me, it's going to sound like a statement, but I mean it as a question. They had such a rough start, 2-6, and then they lose 5 of their last 7 to finish 8-9. They must have felt like a team, you know, destined for the playoffs until that stretch run to the end.
Yeah, they've been a team of second half collapses for a while now. And before Jonathan Gannon, it was under Cliff Kingsbury towards the end of the Bruce Arians reign as well. It's just been a problem. This team seems snake bit by, and they've got to correct that this year because it's playoffs or bust for Arizona to this fan base. Now it's time. It's a third year of the rebuild. They spent money this offseason. They've had 3 solid drafts in a row. It's time to finally get there and win a game. They haven't won a playoff game since Kyler Murray was a number one overall pick back in 2019. It's their time now. If they don't do it, it's going to be a huge, huge disappointment.
Bob, and I want to apologize. I think we did call him Justin instead of Jonathan. We do want to apologize about that. But you kind of answered my question. you kind of answered my question. The expectation, is it playoff or bust just because of the talent and being able to spend some of the money that they have spent, and this team feeling like, when you look at the division, you know, you have the 49ers who are still really, you know, it looks like they're still going to be good, but there's some question marks there with that roster at the receiver position. And then you want to know if McCaffrey can stay healthy. And right. Then, you know, has Seattle kind of turned it completely over, or are they still, you know, somewhat rebuilding? And so you feel like for Arizona, there's an opportunity for them to step in and say, nope, this is our division. We are going to take over it.
Yeah, I think it's I don't want to say a wide open division, but it's competitive. It's going to be close. It wouldn't surprise me if all 4 teams end up right around the same record in some shape or fashion. And you know, maybe this is a year where an NFC West team gets in with 9 wins. That hasn't happened in a while. Or at less than 9 wins would be ick, right? Ick football. But I think it's anyone's division, really. I'm not sure if I believe what a lot of fans are hoping. I'm a little more critical. Been around this team way too long, and I've seen the truisms about it. So I think a winning season is possible, but that could mean, you know, 8-8-1. Is that not a non-losing season? Nice. You know, I mean, I got to see it to believe it. I don't know if 10 wins are possible or not, but you know, it seems like it should be. But again, that division, I mean, they have an easy schedule, the first 6 weeks, and then it gets tough. And that leads into the second half collapse thing that they've been dealing with now for a while. And you just wonder if it snares up and bites them again. It's not going to be pretty.
Yeah, Bob, and I guess when you talk about just this matchup against the New Orleans this weekend, just some of the things that you see that, you know, the Cardinals kind of have to do well to be successful in that game.
They're going to have to rattle Spencer Rattler, you know. That's where it should start. They've got to, you know, like I think most teams do, I mean, they're going to try and stop the run, right? That's what NFC defenses do. And you know, Spencer's not a bad quarterback. He's got some playmakers. But if they allow him time to move around and get feeling comfortable, it could end up costing them. You know, I'm not ruling out an upset, even though they're the biggest, you know, home dogs, I think, this week in week one, the New Orleans Saints. But, you know, this is not a gimme for the Cardinals because no one really knows exactly who or what they're going to be. They think they know. They've been really good about not over-talking it and keeping the hype in-house, which is nice, and that's usually a good sign of a strong team, as you know. But you know, they gotta get to Rattler and mess him up in a legal way, and I'd expect them to turn Josh Sweat loose, see what Calais Campbell can do in his limited amount of snap reps he's going to get, because he is 39 now, if you can believe that, in year 18. But he's still a massive disruptor up front. And whether he gets to Rattler or not, he can certainly get those big old mitts up in the air and knock down some balls. And then, you know, turnovers. You can make him make mistakes, force him in the mistakes. Put the screws to them. Good things could happen for the Cardinals.
Bob, a couple of questions. First off, the Trey McBride kind of eruption, 111 receptions. It had been building, but, you know, just the two touchdowns, but only three receivers caught more balls, wide receivers, in the NFL than Trey McBride last year. I mean, it's amazing. What kind of – you know, problems does he pose to, you know, offenses? Is more seam routes, more just kind of out routes? What's he doing?
He's doing everything. I mean, he's Kyler Murray's security blanket, guys. So I think that all they have to do is throw the ball anywhere near him, and this guy's going to bring it down and get extra yards. And if he has to, he'll hurdle somebody to get more yards because that's what he does. I don't think he's going to do a Barkley reverse hurdle, but he does love to put on a show. And look, super emerging talent. I think he's already top three among tight ends in this game right now. And he wants to be the best. I wouldn't put it past him. He's fantastic at tracking the ball, making contested catches, and he fights for extra yards. But he's going to get so many targets, and everyone's talking about Marvin Harrison Jr. and that connection with Kyler Murray. I'm sick of that. I hope the guy has a nice year two jump too, but don't neglect Trey McBride. He is a mess for opposing defenses, and Jonathan Gannon has said it himself when he complains to Nick Kraus, like, you got to put extra help on this guy, otherwise he's going to kill us. You know, that takes away from somebody else. So, yeah, good luck to defensive coordinators facing this guy. As long as they keep feeding him the ball, good things are going to happen.
And the second question was kind of a weird, disparaging kind of criticism for Kyler Murray. It came from Mark Schlereth on our air earlier today, and he said Kyler is too still to this point, even, you know, since 2019, is interested in the ESPN highlight and that sometimes boring wins and that it's never really gotten through to him. Now, that's easy for a national somebody to say, but somebody who covers this team, do you still see that? Do you feel that?
No, I don't, because he actually brought it up himself during camp that he's learned how to embrace the boring part of that game. It keeps keep moving the chains. Take the easy play. Don't go for the highlight. He's the one who brought it up to us and how important. He said he's found that become for him. It's a staple go-to now. Instead of looking for the huge chunk play, he's going to take what you give him. And you know, he's going to bury you with it. That's what his whole thing is about this year. He's not hyping anybody or anything either this year, but he did make it a point to bring that up before anyone even asked him. That's a huge part of his game moving forward. Now, was it always? He said he found it difficult. He didn't like the boring part of the game, but he knows, and he's going to embrace it, and we'll see if it makes a difference.
Where would you put him as a quarterback, as a throw first, run first? He's probably his best. He's had a career completion rate of 67%. His best was, I think, last year, just 68-something, but he still had 78 rushes, 7.3 average, 5 touchdowns. I mean, is his first inclination to pull it down or to maneuver around to buy time?
He has told us since it's changed a little bit, but he had said he'd rather not have to run, that it's more of a last result or when a play breaks down. He knows how speedy and quick he is and how that's a weapon, but he'd rather not have to rely on that. Now, this year there's been a push by the offensive coaches to have him run the ball a little bit more on schedule. And they've baked plays into the book to make that a reality, because when he does have a designed run and everything is right, the guys can kill you with his speed and elusiveness. And he knows how to get down without getting hit. He doesn't take hits very, very often at all. He has a nose for the sideline when he gets what he can get. And he gets out of harm's way, and that they want to utilize that. And I don't blame him. They should. While he's still relatively young, and anything under 30 is way young to me, so use those legs. But I wouldn't make it a focal point for him in success.
Well, we appreciate your time. Let me go back to the beginning of the interview. Deuce will understand this. You probably will not because you don't know me. Justin Gannon was a pitcher at James Madison University back in 1984, and is a good friend of mine. And I just typed in Justin Gannon and didn't even, when I said it, it didn't even click. And Deuce looked at me like, what are you doing? So Justin Gannon, James Madison pitcher, Jonathan Gannon, Arizona head coach. So awesome. There you go.
Thanks for that.
We appreciate your time. Yeah,
you bet,
things are hard to get out of my head. Yeah, we appreciate your time.
You bet.
And best of luck in the future. Senior sports writer for the Arizona Republic, Bob McManaman. We'll take a break. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. We're at the Rouses in Marrero, right at 6205 LaPalco. It's LaPalco and Ames. And again, Totino's Pizza Rolls, 50-count bags, 2 for $8. Shop and save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. Back after this, here on WWLAMFM.com and always on the Odyssey app. Welcome back, fans and the pro. WWL live from Rouse's Market, 6205 LaPalco in Marrero. Rouse's Market's Football Fridays, from dips and wings to sushi and jambalaya. Rouse's says everything you need to cover the spread. Even Coach Kellen Moore talked about it today. He's like, man, it's Football Fridays. He talked about his high school team, Prosser, was playing some other team up there. So I don't know. Your son plays tonight. Country Day plays, right? Who do they play tonight?
Haynes Academy.
Yeah. So we'll be following. We'll be living it vicariously through you.
Yeah.
You have been the busiest, traveling football man there is.
Oh, we talked off air, and I told him, I told you guys I was 0 for 9. I hadn't seen a team win in person. Now, I've watched games, obviously, on television, but in person, I am 0 for 9 over the last 2 weeks.
Curtis, that's going to change that tonight.
That has to change.
Curtis going to change it tonight.
Somebody needs to change it. Yeah. I mean, because if that stays the case, I'm not going to a game tomorrow. The next
last one would be Sunday. I don't know how I, you know, can we flip the headsets? Can we walk in backwards? Or because it has not been pretty for myself.
And I will say, these aren't games you're going across the street to either. These are games you are traveling to different time zones, different states, driving. So you have earned 0-9.
I've definitely earned it. But it has been quicker to drive just because of some of the cities and towns. And I've seen some good football. I've seen some bad football. I've seen some young football as well. And so there's not many plays that I won't – so the way that I'm looking at it, and you're going to laugh at it, the way that I'm looking at this, how I see it, I will go to over 100 high school, college, or middle school and pro games from last week until – I didn't even count January until January, and that's not counting playoffs. In person.
Wow.
In person. So you talk about whether it's trick plays.
I won't even watch that many on television.
So whether it's trick plays or whether it's ugly uniform colors or rain, whatever, I'm going to be there to support it. I normally don't – not to say I don't get to do it, but – I'm going to do it. If my health allows me to do it, I'm going to do it.
That is amazing. I'm not laughing. That's amazing. You need to write a little, like not a book, but just keep a little journal of that. That's crazy. 100 plus?
Yep.
I mean, we're only doing 17.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So the Saints did get some good news today, and that is Alante Taylor not on the injury list at all. He really hasn't practiced since he got hurt in California.
No, this was the first week.
Yeah.
This week was the first week that he's practiced, and, you know, from all indications, should be ready to go. And I'm kind of torn on this because coming off of an injury, not playing any of the preseason games, do I want to expose him to 100 snaps? And not to say the defense will be out there on the field 100 snaps, but
– let's get off this 100.
let's say it's 60 snaps.
Okay, all right.
Do I want to expose him to 60 snaps? Or do I want that to be around 40? So that's something – yeah, that's something that they're going to have to kind of monitor. Alante will have a lot of – I don't want to say a lot of say in that, but he will have some say in that as well. Because the one thing that you don't want it to do, and that's probably why Chase Young is not playing this week, you don't want it to flare up. It's week one. We got a long season ahead. I need you for all games. I don't need you available for this game, and now you're going to miss the next two because you've aggravated, or next three because you've aggravated that injury.
How do you utilize your secondary, assuming they with Kool-Aid – and, you know, with Alante back, do you still – can you go with Marvin? Or do you send either one of them with Marvin, or is it kind of more zone or matchup zone?
I'm going to mix it up. I'm going to try to play physical with Marvin. I'm going to try to make them be off schedule a little bit as far as mess with his timing. But I'm going to mix it up. We will travel with him, but I don't know if I'm going to give him completely of, hey, you're going to have my number one corner, and he's going to travel with you. Wherever you go, he's going to go.
Right.
I'm going to mix it up. It may be only key situations, or it may be, you know, just third downs that I do it. So I think it's the standpoint it's going to be mixed.
Yeah. It's Fans in the Pro, Mike Haas Special Edition, and Deuce McAllister with you until 6 o'clock before the Brian Kelly Show. The news is coming up in just a little bit. We're going to take a quick break back here at the Rouse's in Marrero, 6205 La Palco. Back after this, WWLAMFM.com. Welcome back. Special edition of Sports Talk Live from Rouse's Markets. We're at La Palco in Marrero, Rouse's Markets. Football Friday, from dips and wings to sushi and jambalaya, Rouse's has everything you need to cover the spread. The first hour's in the books. Back after this, more with Deuce McAllister and Mike Haas here on Sports Talk. But first, the news is next. Welcome back to the special edition of Fans of the Pro, WWL Sports Talk. We are live from Rouse's Market, 6205 LaPalco, right at LaPalco and Ames in Marrero. Rouse's Football Fridays will help you cover the spread this week with spinach artichoke dip or fresh-made guacamole. Rouse's celebrating 65 years, and we are just getting started. Saints and Arizona, as the Saints open the season with three in the NFC West. Carolina is at Jacksonville as we look at the NFC South. That's a noon start. There is a division game as Tampa will be at Atlanta. That's a noon start as well for us here in the Central Time Zone. So Tampa and Atlanta play a division game off the bat. The Saints should not play a division game until week 8 when they take on Tampa Bay. And so we also want to thank Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine, Dine In or Dine Out. The best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. MagazinePizza.com. They feed the WWL broadcast team on game days, and we are thankful for that. The Brian Kelly Show will be at 6 o'clock tonight, followed by the new sponsor of the Prep Football Roundup. It is the Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup, and a great night for high school football as they get started. LSU hosts Louisiana Tech at 6:30 tomorrow. Tulane, after their big win over Northwestern, they will be at South Alabama. And we do have football tonight. Sao Paulo, Brazil. Kansas City against the LA Chargers. Last year, it was Green Bay in Philadelphia that played in that game. And so this time, it'll be Kansas City and the Chargers in a big AFC West matchup. We talked about some of the Saints' injuries. Arizona will be missing Will Hernandez. They're also missing their first-round draft pick, Walter Nolan, who played at Texas A&M and Ole Miss. He injured his calf back on July 23rd, so he's on the PUP, the physically unable to play. He'll miss at least 4 weeks. He's from Olive Branch, Mississippi, and that's about as close as you can get to Tennessee and still be in Mississippi, except maybe South Haven, which is pretty much on the state line. I say all that.
They're sister state. I mean, they're sister cities.
Yep, they are. South Haven is?
Yeah, South Haven and Olive Branch and Walter. Man, tremendous player. Tremendous player. And I'm glad that he's not playing. You know, really good kid. Kind of bounced a little bit high school-wise. A couple different high schools. Same thing.
College,
going to A&M, coming to Oxford. But the one thing, all of the bouncing, the one thing that you saw, when that rascal hit the field, who's going to block him? How many can we put on him to try to block him? Because when he wanted to, he was going to make a play.
Wow.
And not to say that he didn't want to every play, but you could tell when it was a key moment, he was going to make a play. And he was a tremendously, tremendously talented player. But, you know, hopefully he has a fantastic career. But, like I said, I'm glad that he's not playing in this first game against us. But the one thing I'm intrigued. We talked a little bit about them offensively. Defensively, I don't really know what you're gonna truly get when you talk about Coach Gannon and that defense, because they've changed it a little bit. There's some talent on that defense, but do they want to just be a pressure team? And I guess that's the question. Because if they want to be a pressure team, then you are giving yourself up to some explosive plays. Now, you're probably going to make a lot of negative plays. And if you're the Saints, you don't want those negative plays to be, we got a sack and it was a fumble. Or we put you at third and 20, and now you don't have a choice. You've got to get rid of the ball fast, you know, or hand it off, a screen game, whatever it may be, because you don't want to continue to hold it and expose your young quarterback.
Well, they went heavy. They had 7 draft picks, 6 of them defense, and a lot of them Ohio State. They've become like the Saints used to be. A lot of their players, they've got like, I think, 5 that were drafted and one that was a free agent from Ohio State.
Well, they got the one Michigan corner, though, if I can remember.
Will Johnson.
Yeah, Will Johnson as well.
Second-round pick.
Yeah, Will Johnson, who a lot of people had projected to go here.
Yep.
To New Orleans, and I think he's a good player, but I do think there's some some things that you can take advantage of with him as a player, but he's a good player.
Yep, Denzel Burke. They had one of five. I mean, you think five players drafted from Ohio State since 2023, so that's not too long ago. So definitely a route they were going. By the way, just for the record, the reason I went the Olive Branch South Haven route was because we saw the other side of football last week, 2 weeks ago. JT Gray, Clarksdale, Mississippi.
Yep.
So he gets picked. I mean, we knew he wasn't going to be on the street long. It's a business. It's tough. God. And I talked to Jerry Sandusky, who was Baltimore's play-by-play guy. Sent him an email last night. I said, just tell John Harbaugh, point to a wall. JT will do the rest. I mean, it's just a tough part of this game because that kid, I mean, here's a guy who led the NFL in special team stops and solo stops. Not 2 years ago. 3 years ago. Last year.
Yep. The unfortunate part of the NFL, and I can't confirm it, but is JT a victim of the new rule change?
Kickoff rule.
The kickoff rule? Is he a victim of the new rule change and the Saints taking two safeties in the last two drafts and signing two other safeties that will play every down starter? Because the problem becomes here, let me tell you, it's a numbers game.
Right. Well, heck yeah.
It's a numbers game. And JT was probably not going to be one of those guys that lined up as a safety.
No, I think he only did, I think it was like in his time since 2018, less than 100 defensive snaps.
Correct. And so we're talking about what, 6 years?
Right.
7 years? Whatever it is. You know, even if you go last 5 years.
Right.
Less than 40 snaps. And now with the emphasis on the kickoff rules the way they are, this roster spot becomes one that is punt return. Now, are the Saints, and I say all that to say that if it's me, I'm not releasing him. I am not releasing him. If I have him for 14 plays, I know in 12 of those plays he's probably going to make the stop. Now, he may not have 12 tackles, but he's going to be close to it. He's gonna. He's gonna.
You may kick away from him. You're impacting the play just because he's out there.
Well, I agree, but I think this team felt like with some of the other younger guys, maybe they don't get 100% of what JT's gonna give them or was giving them, but they're gonna get about 75. And then guess what? I may use this guy on defense where he may get 15 plays per game. Not in the complete year.
Right, complete year, right.
So, look, I'm happy for JT. I had some friends that came down from the Delta, from Cleveland and Broad Street, you know, and he, I know he was a Bulldog, but he and Jenkins, offensive lineman for Green Bay, Elgin Jenkins, he and JT did like a camp and some other stuff in that area, and man, just a really, really good young man. He spent a couple years over in Las Vegas, high school-wise, JT did. But then he came back home, and that young man's a Mississippi kid. And he's a Bulldog. And so I'm pulling for him, and I hope he does well in Baltimore because he's still think he has some years. And that's the other thing. Having the injury probably didn't help him as well.
Yep. John Harbaugh loves some special teams, and I remember when we talked to him the first time he made the All-Pro team. He was in a car going back to Clarksdale to celebrate with his peeps in Mississippi. Take a break. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister. We're at the Rouses in Marrero right here off of Ames and LaPalco Boulevard. Be here till 6 o'clock tonight. Talk a little LSU football when we come back. This is Fans of the Pro, WWL, AMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back, Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister, Fans of the Pro, until 6 o'clock tonight when you will hear the Brian Kelly Show at 6 as they get ready for their game tomorrow night against Louisiana Tech. This is the Brian Kelly Show from last night, and joining us now is Chris Gordy, Locked on the SEC host at Chris Gordy. Chris, welcome to the show. You're on with Mike and Deuce.
What's up, fellas? Thanks for having me.
No, we're good, man. I mean, it's a tough act to follow after all those season opening losses, and then that game last week was, you know, it could have been actually really a bigger win for LSU. It was, you know, down to the wire, but just to get that kind of win on the road against Clemson, man, it already feels so much different than it did the last few years when you were 0-1 fighting uphill.
No doubt, and I won't be using the Dabo Swinney grading system here, but, you know, I thought LSU looked great. I mean, I think the offense left some points out there. You know, obviously, I think they're going to discuss and change what the stupid rule of, you know, catch completing to the ground out of bounds. I think that will be something they'll look at changing after this season. You know, Barry and Brown obviously looked like a touchdown, but you know, I feel like, you know, this defense sent a message that this is, you know, looking like the better, one of the better defenses LSU's had in well over a decade. Swarming is the word that a lot of folks used. You know, I think DC Baker used last year, you know, a lot of blitzing and different downs, and they got burned on the blitz because they didn't have guys who could cover one-on-one down the field. And now with Mansoor Delane emerging as a guy that can be that dude, I think you're going to see them be able to take a lot more risks up front and use the blitz a little bit more. And, you know, it was a key to getting the win last week, whether it was Whit Weeks or Harold Perkins coming through. You know, I think that they're going to be a much more aggressive defense this year. So, yeah, I thought passive flying colors. And to your point, yeah, this was the best win under Brian Kelly at LSU. I understand they beat Alabama a couple years ago at home, but that was at home. This was a top 10 team on the road that you were able to beat. And, yeah, this win goes a long way because in this 12-team playoff iteration, it buys you two losses down the road. LSU, you know, in the BCS era, you basically had to go unscathed. In the 14 playoff, you could only lose one game. In this 12-team playoff, you can lose two games. So, yeah, it buys LSU two losses down the road. And if they keep playing like they played in week one, they may not have two losses the rest of the way.
No, I was so impressed to the point – from a blitzing standpoint, I was like, it was so overwhelming that it just kept coming and coming and coming. And I agree. I can't, you know, watching that game just on television, there were so many scenarios on the touchdown. Incomplete was not anything I'd ever even thought of. He was 6 yards out of bounds. So the fact that they have to relook at that is stunning. This is not what I would call a, you know, a sleeper game with Louisiana Tech, but you do got Florida next. You know, this is one of those games you just gotta, you hope the Tigers are up and ready for.
Yeah, look, you're gonna come back home. You're gonna feel good in front of the home crowd. It wouldn't shock me if there's a little bit of a letdown factor, right? I mean, offense gets the ball and goes three and out to start the game, just because it was such an emotional game last week. You know, you could come out this week can be a little flat against Louisiana Tech, but that's on Brian Kelly and the coaching staff to keep them, you know, motivated, the 1-0 mentality week in and week out, not looking too far ahead. But I think you do use this as a dress rehearsal to get ready for a really good Florida team next week coming to Death Valley. They've got a really tough test against a good South Florida team that just beat Boise State a week ago. So Florida's got their own problems to worry about. But if they take care of business and LSU beats Louisiana Tech like we all expect, it's going to set the stage for a matchup of two top 15 teams coming in next week in Death Valley. So, yeah, I would expect this is a game, you know, let the offense go out there, do their thing. In a perfect world, you bench a number of your starters by the fourth quarter, and you start to get some of these young freshmen out there to get some experience and some playing time. I heard Steve Sarkisian say, I mean, Texas brought in a bunch of five-star wide receivers this offseason. He didn't play any of them against Ohio State. He said, I didn't want their first experience to be going up against Ohio State on the road, those DBs. And so, yeah, I think a lot of coaches look at this week, you know, playing a softer opponent saying, yeah, this is a week we need to get some of our true freshmen in there and see what we have in them.
When you look at this overall LSU team, and obviously you go on the road and you're able to come away victorious, but how good do you think this team can truly be if they are able to put it all together? And, you know, from an offensive standpoint, I thought that you got enough, but I think that they can be a lot better in offensive system.
Yeah, no doubt. Like I said, they left some points out there. Look, we didn't even get to see Nick Anderson out there. Nick Anderson is a guy that set the Oklahoma freshman record for most touchdowns in a season a couple years ago. And, you know, he didn't even really do much. We didn't really see much of Harlan Berry, who we think could be really electric. And Barry and Brown, I mean, you know, I thought he would be used a little bit more. So they're just scratching the surface on what they can do offensively. But, Deuce, the one thing that stuck out to me was Brian Kelly pointing out the team mentality with these guys, that you bring in a bunch of transfers, you don't know what you're getting sometimes, right, because of the big C-word chemistry. But it sounds like a lot of these guys are being selfless. You know, he singled out Patrick Payton drawing a defender there on that last play that opened up a hole for Harold Perkins to rush the passer. I mean, if you're going to get that from these guys the rest of the way, where, you know, nobody's looking out for their individual stats and they're being selfless and, you know, hey, let me draw this double team so it opens up another guy, that's a recipe for a championship caliber team. And so I love what we saw. Again, it's just 1 week. Albeit it was a big one, but if they play with that selfless mentality the rest of the way, I mean, the sky's the limit for this team.
What other games are you looking at as you look to the SEC this week? I mean, that Alabama loss, I mean, they dropped to 21. Michigan 15 and Oklahoma 18. I mean, are there any other games this week? It's either kind of a conference matchup or it's, you know, Austin Peay and East Tennessee State, stuff like that.
Yeah, look, if this is the honey-do list weekend. If you got to do some chores for the wife or something, get that out of the way this weekend, because there's going to be some really good weekends up ahead. But, yeah, I mean, it's not the sexiest of matchups. Ole Miss at Kentucky, I mean, Deuce can tell you, Kentucky, last four times they've played Ole Miss, the score's been decided by 3 points or less. For some reason, Mark Stoops, you know, their defenses, they play well against the Lane Kiffin system, whatever it is. Obviously handed them the monster loss last year that kept Ole Miss out of the playoffs. So I'll be curious to see. I mean, this Kentucky team seems a lot less talented on paper than the previous teams. You know, not as much pro talent. So, and Zach Calzada left a lot to be desired at his performance week one against Toledo. And now you're going to be facing a Pete Golding defense that's going to attack and come after you. So I'll be curious to see if Kentucky can keep it close at all. But again, history shows us that matchup has been pretty close. It's the first SEC on SEC game of the season, so we'll be watching that. And then Kansas at Missouri. You know, that's a rivalry that goes back to the Big 12 days and even before that. Two fan bases that absolutely hate each other. Both teams are undefeated. So this will be a big win for Mizzou. Mizzou opens the season 6 straight games at home in Como. They don't leave Missouri until I think it's like late October. It's pretty crazy, the schedule that they got. So that's one to keep an eye on. Then, as I mentioned, South Florida going to Florida. Billy Napier can't afford to lose that one. If he loses that one, man, the words of hot seat are already starting to, you know, going to pop up in Gainesville if he loses this one.
Garrett Nussmeier and his kind of outing against Clemson, nothing much phases him. You know, we saw a couple of shots of his dad, Doug, you know, watching a game as if he were calling the game. I mean, I don't think he blinked, more or less smiled. But Garrett's performance, man, it was just solid.
Yeah, it was. And I talked with my guy, Sean Salisbury, who played at that, you know, played college ball, played the pro ball, watches quarterbacks every week. And he said what just impressed him so much was the game management and putting guys in the right place. And it just shows the maturity level, how Garrett has taken that next step. You know, as much praise as we want to give the offensive line, and they did perform very well against that Clemson front. But, you know, Garrett a couple times got rid of the ball when he was under pressure and avoided the sack. It's just those are the mature plays you make as a seasoned veteran quarterback. And, you know, I go back to the 2019 offensive line. That was really good, but, you know, they won the Joe Moore Award for best O-line in the country. And I think a big part of that was Joe Burrow and his matureness and getting rid of the football and not holding on to it and taking the sacks. I think Garrett Nussmeier, we saw a very mature guy, and it's got to be exciting to think about what he can do the rest of the way if he continues to protect the football, which we saw at times in hostile environments last year at A&M, at Florida in the Swamp. You know, he would take a gamble. He would sling the football and throw it into dangerous territory. He didn't do that this past week. And, you know, if he can do that all season long, it's going to mean great things for him and, dare I say, possibly an invite to New York and the Heisman Trophy ceremony.
And it what it does, at least initially, buys time for this offensive line, who hasn't played, you know, a ton together, to really kind of meld together and become the unit that they will be, you know, 2 months from now.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, again, Braylon Moore and Josh Thompson are two very experienced guys that you knew what you were getting when you got them. And you know, mission accomplished so far. Those guys have looked really good. But yeah, it's those other young guys that you've recruited, from Mbenga to Adams to Weston Davis. they have to mature with more and more reps. And, you know, that's only going to come in time. But, you know, Brian Kelly said it before. He likes the depth that they have with guys like Cohen Echols and DJ Chester, Terrius Kern coming on as a true freshman. That's only going to make this group better as the year goes along. So, yeah, look, they get a passing grade for me after week one, and I think this offensive line is only going to get better as the year goes on.
Well, we look forward to tomorrow night, and we look forward to talking to you as well throughout the season. We really appreciate the time. It's Chris Gordy, Locked On the SEC host, at Chris Gordy, G-O-R-D-Y. Thank you, my friend. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, fellas. You too.
Fans in the Pro, Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. We are at the Rouses here on La Palco in Marrero, where you can get Football Friday, everything that you need. I'm going to say it again. You ready? Totino's Pizza Rolls, 50-count bags, 2 for $8. Shop and save at Rouses, the official supermarket of the Saints, 65 years and counting. Thankfully, something older than me. We're back after this. Stay with us here on Fans of the Pro, WWLAMFM.com, always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back. We are at the Rouses in Marrero with you until 6 o'clock, so about another 15 minutes. Come on down, get all of your stuff for a huge weekend. High school football tonight. Of course, at 7 o'clock, we'll have the Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup. Before that, the Brian Kelly Show. And then tomorrow, LSU. Tulane is at South Alabama. What a huge win for them over Northwestern last week with their new quarterback. Football tonight, Kansas City and the Chargers at Sao Paulo, Brazil.
Have you seen some of the security?
For that game? I just remember you telling me last year that you knew somebody that was on, I guess, the special teams. It was Philly and Green Bay.
They couldn't wear the green.
And they couldn't, but it was just a travel.
Nightmare.
Yeah.
Travel nightmare.
The, like 2 hours to practice and back. You're a good guy.
Yes, just, and that's one way.
With the police escort.
With the escort, and it was interesting. And so, as we know, as the NFL continues to grow, the international games will be mainstays. And they will continue to add games. I wouldn't be surprised within the next 3 to 5 years that you have, outside of the Jaguars, well, the Jaguars already play more than one international game. You're going to have multiple teams playing at least 2 international games. What do you think?
Is that in an 18-game season or 17?
Well, the 18 is coming as well. So, right. I mean, the only question is –
that's tough, man. Unless you schedule them back-to-back, playing Germany this week and in France next week?
If it's up to me, that's what I would want.
Right.
If I'm the team –
and then off, and then open.
Well, if I'm the team, that's what I'm asking for. But I think once they go to 18, you're going to get the 2 bye weeks.
Right.
You'll get the 2 bye weeks. But here's the part, though. And I know it because the Saints did it. You don't have to have a bye week directly after your international game.
You choose
whether you want that bye week then. Because if your international game is early, like week 4 or 5, and you take that bye week, man. And do you understand the stretch that you have coming up?
Right. And a lot of teams do it differently. Saints left from Carolina that night on a Sunday night, flew right over, spent the week. A lot of teams now feel like, don't even get involved in the time delay. Well, just go over like Thursday or Friday.
It depends on where they play at as well.
Right.
Because the New York teams, they like to come over that Friday.
Right.
They like to stay at home. And the New York teams, they like to come over that Friday. But some of the West Coast teams as well, though, they will go over early.
go the other direction.
Yeah, because for them, it's almost like I have to go early. Because of the time, how it
you cross the international timeline.
Yeah, and so it's interesting. Depending on where you play, and depending on where your home market is as well, is when you know some of those teams when they leave. I mean, because Miami was one where they came over that Friday. I remember when we played them. You know, it was like, no, we're not coming up. We're not coming over early to hang out and be there. The Chargers, I think the Chargers came over early with us. I can't remember, honestly. I'm going back to when I played in it. I think that was the second game back in 2008.
In London, right?
Yeah, in London.
And I know I said this during the Charger game, but the Chargers, when they play tonight, will have played on their 5th continent. So You know, we talk about an international game. Yeah.
Well, I got one continent we won't be playing on unless some ice melts.
Antarctica.
Thank you.
Antarctica. We will see. I tell you, it is amazing. It is amazing. But you watch, you know, the numbers and what, you know, last night.
It will be unbelievable. I heard Charlie and Mike and Steve last night, I think, what game was it that got 16.5? Was it Ohio State, yeah. Texas? So, yep. 16, which is really good. Really good. But the NFL game last night for Dallas, and I hadn't seen the numbers, but if I had to throw, and its number wouldn't be far off, at least 42 million.
Did they stay for the hour rain delay?
No, they probably had to go to bed.
Some of them East Coasters, I don't know, man. It's tough.
But it's the Philly.
Yeah.
Philly market, though, and that New York market, you know they were watching. But it's Dallas, and so
their
fan base is going to be engaged and watch. But, I mean, just think about that. And I hadn't seen the numbers, but I feel comfortable in throwing that number out there and feeling pretty good about it. But that just tells you the power of the NFL. And I would not be one bit surprised if tonight's game doesn't come in around that number as well. It's going to come in around that number as well. And, they'll be at 18 games before we know it as far as the NFL is concerned.
We'll take a break. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister on this special edition of Fans in a Pro from Rouse's here in Marrero. We'll kind of wrap it up, talk Saints in Arizona, get Deuce's final thoughts on the season opening game. We're back after this here on WWLAMFM.com. Welcome back for just a couple of more minutes here at the Rouse's in Marrero, but they'll be open, so come get your vittles for the weekend. Get whatever you need to watch football and listen to football on Sunday, noon, Saints in Arizona. You're in the tunnel, right? Sunday with Spencer Rattler.
Yep.
You're in the tunnel walking out. What are you telling them?
Hey, kid, go have fun. You don't have to do it all.
Live to fight another day.
There's a little bit of him, and I don't know, I say a little bit, that wants to be to home state. I know he will probably have a ton of family at that game and watching that game as well. And so for him, I don't need the hero play. I just need you to stay within yourself and run what we call. And when there's a play to be made, I need you to make it. I need you to make it.
If it's
trust the weapons around you. Trust the guys up front. If I see an opportunity to move a blitz, to move a call, to pick up a blitz, do it. You don't have to be fast with your feet, because sometimes he will get fast with his feet. And what I mean by that is I'll step up into the pocket to escape instead of keeping my eyes down the field, to where I step up in the pocket and I'm going to hit you with one over the top. Because if you're going to blitz me, the worst I am going to do is pick up a first down. That's the worst. The best, I'm going to put six up against you. But the worst is I pick up a first down. Now, obviously, that's from an offensive perspective. Defensively, they want to create a turnover. They want to create they want to get a negative play. Sometimes it's okay to live to see the next play.
Throw it away. Don't take the sack. Third and 17 is not doable. Throw it away.
Very few times.
Third and 7 is doable, third and 17.
Very few times will you be able to convert third and 17. Very few times.
Flip it. What are you telling this defense about Kyler Murray?
I want to box him in. Kyler, if you go 30 for 35 against me and you beat me, then, hey, I have to shake your hand. But I do not want you outside of the pocket being a runner and then being able to flip it as far as the football is concerned and throw it. So you are going to have 80 to 90% completion, because I want to box you in, but I feel like I can pressure and I can sack you in that pocket. He gets outside of the pocket, we got trouble.
We will find out. All the naysayers. We begin on Sunday at noon. Of course, all of our broadcast begins early on Sunday morning. My thanks to Charlie Long, Luke Augusta, DePaul Smith, the great Deuce McAllister, even Tommy Tucker stopped by to say hello. Come on by Rouse's here in Marrero. Thanks for listening, everybody. The Brian Kelly Show is up next, and we will talk to you again on Sunday.